Well, to continue, it's still morning after that glitch. It's interesting how computers and technology can fail and change things, especially when you're on GPS, trying to go somewhere far away and it cuts out. Boy. This morning we'll conclude the Sermon on the Mount in the end of chapter 7, and that concludes the sermon where Jesus will give a parable on two builders. He'll explain that, you know, there's two builders involved here. One will be a wise builder, one will be a foolish builder. And as we had read and Paul elaborate a little bit on this morning here, is that it's one thing to take in the Word of God. It's a whole other atmosphere and a whole other understanding to put it into practice. So throughout the whole sermon on Jesus' Mount, when he preached to the people, it was always his intention that he would have, again, expectations. So the first point is that we have to understand that Jesus has expectation in why we do what we do as followers of him, as Christians. There's expectations. It's always about doing, not just hearing. In fact, we'll get into this, but acting upon Jesus' words. There's action involved when we hear the Word of God and our response to it. And then the third point is, again, with this parable, he'll emphasize and I think bring in the whole sermon, is that when we listen to God's Word, as God's Word is perfect, our lives are imperfect and there's going to be storms. So we're going to be tested by storms, and that's the third point. So the lesson text is in Matthew 7, 24 through 29, and I'll begin reading it. The message is be wise. Ultimately, it's just be wise. And so in verse 24, Jesus will begin, he'll say, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like who does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it didn't fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, he'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So the first point, again, is that Jesus has expectations for everyone, and that's listening to his word. Because this picture here, it's a great picture of just really grabbing hold of this two builders. And when I think about two builders in this parable, they could have similar looking houses. They looked the same. They were great, beautiful looking homes. And I think the parable alludes to that in this case, that he's saying everybody hears the same message, but one only obeys it. In this parable, that wise person obeys what Jesus says versus the person that hears it and doesn't put it into practice. And so listening, the point is listening must be followed up by living out the principles contained on the Sermon on the Mount, all the way from the beginning of when Jesus gives the blessings all the way through. In fact, I brought up a few points here that in the beginning of the sermon, he talks about the Beatitudes and speaks about being gentle and seeking peace and pursuing that and showing integrity of a true follower of him. Jesus says, these are the people that are blessed. The peacemakers. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who recognize their need for God. And the meek people. Those are the ones that are going to be blessed. And then he talks about love in chapter 5, 38 through 48, where he talks about having mercy. You know, your mercy is going to be extended on us upon how we extend that mercy on other people. And again, this is not just hearing it, but doing it. But doing it. Even loving your enemies. I think one of the most challenging doctrines of the Bible, when we really look at how we love God, is in 1 John 2:4. He says, the man who says, I know him, God, but doesn't do what he says, is a liar. And the truth isn't in him. The truth is in us because we have an ability to love people that hate us. I can't think of anything more challenging to love people that don't even like you. And then the worship in chapter 6, focusing on pleasing God rather than living religiously or even to approve people. Not just coming to worship here on Sundays. Not just getting together because it's a religious duty that you have to show some commitment to God, coming to service on Sunday, worshiping with the body, but really getting deep and focusing on God. Focusing on God when we sing to Him. Focusing on God to worship Him in spirit and truth. We make the boast in John 4:24 that the true worship is worship God in spirit and truth. That's Jesus' emphasis. Not to be a people pleaser. Not just to make people say, wow, that person's super religious in the way they present themselves. Awesome person. It's good to be called awesome. But Jesus said you're blessed if you get persecuted for being awesome before God. Trust in God. Seeking. I think the strongest message we've heard is sometimes seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness in John 6:33. All throughout this sermon, Jesus is reiterating and emphasizing there has to be some effort involved. And again, I've emphasized and said not just going to church on Sunday, but seeking God's kingdom first and His righteousness. Seeking God's righteousness calls us to live in godly lives, and Jesus wants that. He doesn't want us to just be sinners during the week on purpose, as Dave mentioned in the Lord's Supper. I think there is some intensity to that, of living a godly life. Not a sinless life. Only Jesus lived a sinless life. But the effort needs to be involved continually, living holy and godly lives before God, 24/7, every day. Judging others, and the golden rule, we read this the last couple weeks, that it's not sin to make a proper judgment. Not on what people look like, but the heart. We know, because Jesus said, by people's fruit, they're going to be recognized. Everything we do comes out in the end. It really does. And if it doesn't come out in the end before men, it sure will come out before the judge when we face him face to face. And it's a scary thing. It is a scary thought. But the golden rule, if we can get this, there is no condemnation when you're loving and treating people the way you want to be treated. No one wants to be treated horribly. And if there are some of us who have been treated horribly in life, and it's painful, that's a painful place to be, but Jesus doesn't want us to be in pain. He wants us to be at peace and love God. And He wants us to desire Him. And to even love people, treat others, here again, even when they don't treat you the same way. Inside and outside the faith. God's Word. A person who does not, and this is key, is who doesn't put Jesus' words into practice, is to Jesus, to Him, considered a foolish builder. Now, I think about a foolish builder. It doesn't mean, and for anybody here, even someone who isn't a Christian, God considers someone that isn't a Christian a foolish builder. I'll say that. But there's still time. I thought about this. There's still time to make changes if you aren't building on the rock, the Word of God. So the wise builders make wise decisions. I think it's pretty simple. If you're a wise guy, you're pretty wise, and you think you make decisions that way. And it yields, and I think about this word, because it's a powerful word, positive results. There's enough negativity in the world where people end up going in their minds. Even as Christians, we're tempted to always think of the negative side of living, the burdens of life, and they're there. But there is something about, and I'm not saying the power of positive thinking, the books of man's philosophy, but there is something about being positive and to God. And so I will say, when we use God's word, we find much encouragement in there. As much as there's the challenge to do what Jesus says here, and he does give the warnings at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, not putting it into practice, unfortunately, leads to ruin. But when we put it into practice, and I emphasize prayer as a daily practice, because our prayer is our relationship to God, we can read the Word, and you may even be a great doer of the Word, but we have to keep the connection of our relationship to God first and foremost. Jesus did. He woke up in the morning, and while it was still dark out, no one was around, even his disciples, and he went and prayed to the Father. Beautiful example. I think we can learn from Jesus. I think that's the whole point of following Jesus, is to be like Jesus, to be a Christian, is to imitate Christ in all of what we can. Not in the perfection of it, but do what he says. Because Jesus promised to judge us on the last day by his word. It's so striking that we're going to be judged as an open book test. Because we have the Bible in front of us. We have God's very word. It's been written down for us. So we will be without excuse on the day of judgment to not have done what Jesus says. In fact, he says, on my word, on that last day, we'll judge them. And so, that's pretty incredible teaching. And then only on God's word, the Bible, I mean, we're supposed to be Bible people, understanding God's word. We believe the Bible is the inspiration of God, his word through the prophets and the apostles, and we can build the right foundation. You think about the foundation for time and eternity. Now, we're building this solid foundation, picture the houses, not just for this life, which is an awesome life. It's a great life to live on the rock of Jesus, but into eternity, forever. I can't even wrap my brain around forever and ever, but I can boast to you about it. It's an awesome thought. Forever? Take a second to think of the word forever when you're praying to God, and you should be stirred up in your soul. We build upon the rock, and that's the thing. He says, building upon me, building upon Jesus' words, not just hearing them, not even just reading them, but build yourself up. Do a little something of what the Bible says that you may not have done last week, maybe application. We build on his word, but also God's will. Because remember Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's a continual. Yes, being in the Word, reading the Bible, understanding, and if you don't understand, going to the next person and say, what is your thought? How do you understand this? How have you applied these teachings? How have we been able to spur one another on toward love and good deeds? By doing what the Bible says. Oh, look, this works for me. This works for me. Serving this person works for me. How can we spur one another on toward the love and good deeds as a church that pleases God? Nobody has it down. We learn from one another this way. And again, we have to be built on the right foundation. That's the point here. Building on the right foundation, because only on that right foundation are we able to withstand the pressures of living. And ultimately, the judgment day too. So the second point is acting upon Jesus' words. Again, last week in Luke 6:46, Jesus says he's with the people. The people are following him. They know he's of somebody great, not fully understanding he's the Son of God. But he says, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say. And I think that's what he would say to us. You know, some of us have been Christians forever, it seems, at least a long part of our lives, and we have to do what Jesus says continually. We can never outgrow who we are as Christians. In fact, we're supposed to mature and be even more and more like Jesus. That's the intent that Jesus has as his followers. We can't stay little infants. It's not even good to stay elementary. There's got to be some practicals. And that's the point of Jesus' message. Jesus intends for us to act, as our brother Paul emphasized in Ezekiel 33. The people heard the word. They loved the prophet. They thought it was really great of what he was saying. But again, they weren't acting upon what he was saying when it came to doing God's will. They just saw the prophet as someone great, good guy, saying the right words. But that means nothing to Jesus. It means nothing to Jesus to hear his word and do nothing with it. That's the emphasis of his teaching. You know, wisdom is proved right by our actions. These are personal thoughts that I wanted to share with you that I think about when I think about not only hearing Jesus' word once we've heard him, but understanding that action proves your wisdom. James 2 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life with deeds that come from humility." Deeds that come from humility aren't boasting. You're not doing things for people to see them. Deeds done in humility are before God and God only. That's why in Jesus' sermon he says, when you give in to the poor, do it secretively. My Father sees all these great things a faithful, wise person's doing. He doesn't do them. And that's why the people were overwhelmed when they heard Jesus' words in the end of the book, the chapter here. They were astonished because Jesus taught with authority. When I think of Jesus' authority, what a powerful authority. He just laid it out. That's the awesome thing. Like, Jesus didn't just say, well, maybe if you feel good tomorrow when you wake up, read your Bible. He said, you got to be in my word. You got to do my Father's will. I mean, he got you right involved. Jesus got everyone involved with action. He said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They weren't just like, hang on, Jesus, let me go bury my dead father. Jesus said, no, you come follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Talk about a hard teaching. That's okay. So, well.
I think you're done.
Wow. Will this kick back on?
No.
So?
I have no idea what that noise is.
Everyone's still here. Well, there's always something new out there. I think, well, you know, when I think about the storms of life, and we all will go through them, the thing that's sobering, or at least in Jesus' message, is the wise person and the foolish person are both going to go through storms in life. The interesting thing that changes a Christian is that we're able to build the foundation on the rock, which is Jesus and his teaching. And the fool, I mean, again, it sounds painful to even define a fool, and none of us ever want to be fools in the eyes of God. In fact, in Luke 12, in that parable, that rich young barn-storing fool, God calls him a fool because his life would be demanded from him for what he stored up for himself and not did what God had him to do. And I think about the foundation of the cracks that come in. And sometimes, we mentioned it a little bit the other day in our Bible study, is when the storms come, it exposes your foundation. When you think about a foundation being exposed, and when that's exposed, that house that the sand, unfortunately, crumbled in, affected that person's life because his life wasn't built on the rock. And Jesus said that when the rains, the floods, and the storms, and the winds come and beat against that house would fall with a great crash. And we have to be people that really are able to weather the storm. And I think about James chapter 1, where James does, and I've talked to people about this recently, and I know we're familiar with the passage of considering what we go through, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and so on. And he's saying that trials come, trials always will come, and how we have our faith built is going to show whether we can endure the hardships and make it through at the very end. And I think that's something to really know, that it's not as though something strange. And Peter, he says, don't think it's something strange when you go undergoing trials of many kinds, because everybody's going through these trials. It's not just on you. Like, why God me? That it should never be. No, we all will face the hardships in life, but we also should be enjoying what God has given us through that. Consider it pure joy. Boy, if there's any more application in life through hardship, it's to consider those hard times with pure joy. And again, this really does test your foundation. I mean, because sometimes even our foundations get shaken a little bit, and we get all nerved up, like, oh my goodness, God, please don't take my job away. It's already been hard enough to do. It's tough. There's all kinds of things that come in, the pressures of this life. That's why God says we have to stay focused. The parable of the sower. Though we hear the word, we let it penetrate our hearts to define who we are. And there's times we do get shaken about. But I will say this, and I'm confident, that if we stay faithful to God, we will be productive and useful. And I think all Jesus asks is that we continue to walk with Him. And we emphasize many times in our classes, in our studies, why do we study the Bible so much? That we can do the will of God in our own lives. It's beautiful that we're all together. God loves the church, but it's good to love the church and one another. And we have to keep each other safe and sound on the solid rock. None of us want to be on the shaky ground and just crumble. I know it's tough sometimes. Life is hard, and I think that Jesus wants us to be solid in that, and that it takes each other to encourage one another through the hardships and the trials, to build each other up that way. It shouldn't be a story to tell of how God, you know, yes, there is a story, God, how good God is to you, but always be willing to reciprocate that to other people, to encourage them, to build them up. And that's a continual thing. I don't know what I had for a complete conclusion on the sermon. I will say this, from my study in John and Matthew 5 through 7, that a wise person absolutely does what Jesus says. A foolish person may hear what Jesus says, but doing nothing about what he says is valueless, really. He says you will crash. Again, when the hardships come, you'll crash. And crash and burn isn't the place any of us or anyone would want to be. And Jesus said the only way that we will be with him is that we would do his Father's will and continue that out as members of Christ's kingdom. But I think about people that don't read the Bible, that aren't Christians. I mean, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, and we know who's righteous in here, if it's hard for us to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And so we have a responsibility as Christians, and I will say this as the invitation, to preach the truth. That if you truly are not a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, someone who hasn't been reading their Bible and following Him, it's an absolute responsibility to teach you that you need to repent. You need to repent of your sins and really grab hold of where you're at before God And as Robert says, I love his little saying, before it's too late. Sounds harsh, but we only have one life to live, and it needs to be with Christ. If there's anyone here that isn't in Christ, who is unsure they're in Christ, please come forward as we sing the invitation.